My advice for entrepreneurs is definitely to level up with Shopify. The platform is just never a worry. Like, I have so many worries, but the platform is never one. I feel like Shopify really thinks about how they can optimize. It just always feels very ahead of the curve. Everything is just super easy to connect and link. They really know what we need. Time and money that is saved, I can spend on other things and on growth.
Start your free trial at shopify.com.
Ich bin Charissa und meine Empfehlung an alle Entrepreneure, startet mit Shopify erfolgreich durch. Ich verwende Shopify schon seit dem ersten Tag und die Plattform macht mir nie Probleme. Ich habe viele Probleme, aber die Plattform ist nie eins davon. Ich habe das Gefühl, dass Shopify ihre Plattform kontinuierlich optimiert. Alles ist super einfach, integrier und verlinkbar. Und die Zeit und das Geld, das ich dadurch spare, kann ich anderweitig investieren. Vor allem in Wachstum.
Jetzt kostenlos testen auf shopify.de.
Found scribbled on the back of a log after the night of October 5th, 2008, tied back to the night of thirst. Attention night shift staff. Be advised that there is a water restriction in place until further notice. The water has been determined to contain a harmful chemical that may cause extreme health risks. The warden will advise when the water restriction is lifted. I looked over at the day shift officer who was collecting his things and preparing to leave. What's this all about? He looked at me, absent-mindedly, and scrunched up his face in deep thought. I relieved Macmillan most days, and he always managed to look like conscious thought was a lot of effort. He never struck me as a deep thinker. The longer I interacted with him, the more I realised that the department's standards were slipping pretty low. Macmillan looked like the effort of flexing all 12 of his brain cells might start a fire, and it took him a few minutes before he came up with an answer. Oh yeah, not supposed to use the water, Major said so when he came to put up the sign. I rolled my eyes at him. Macmillan had told me nothing that I couldn't have gleaned from the notice. Yeah, but for how long? He shrugged. Till you hear otherwise, I guess. Then he left, and it was just me in a dorm of 150 warm bodies. I started my exciting career in corrections about 2 years ago. Honestly, if it weren't for the astounding amount of money you make for being a babysitter to grown men, I probably would have quit. The job is tedious, mind-numbing at the best of times, and never-ending most nights. I worked for a captain that would rather sleep than do his job, so even the prospect of dorm search or a response team drill is off the table most nights. Compared with the staff shortage we seemed to be in the middle of, and I was destined to spend every night alone in the dorm. Now, this was going to make my life ducky. The complaints started almost immediately. The heat from Macmillan's backside hadn't even adequately cooled from the chair before I got my first complaint of the night. The dorm I was in had four quads that held about 30 to 40 people per quad. On average, I have about 150, and tonight, they were all mad about the lack of water. The fella at the box, his fingers smashing the button hard enough to go through the wall, looked like he ate push-ups and crap sit-ups on the daily. He was bald, his black beetle eyes staring out of a face that looked shaped from clay, and he was looking at me through the glass as he pressed the talk button, which was making a loud click in my office. I pushed the talk button on my end and asked what he wanted. So we can't use the water? Through the glass, I stared at him to let him know how great a question this was with my most convincing, "You're a real genius, champ" expression. That's what the sign says. So then, how are we supposed to take showers? You aren't. He looked back at me, his face looking like he might have come up with another question if I was willing to wait. What are we supposed to drink? He said, just as I thought he had given up on a follow-up question. I don't know. I'm sure someone with a higher rate of pay than me will sort that out. Well, what about... I wrote over him. If it's related to water, there isn't any, so stop bothering me. And that was how I spent the first hour and a half of my night. Different representatives from each squad would approach the box, their questions taken on differing allocation levels, until I finally announced that there was no water. I didn't know when the water would be back. If it made them feel any better, I also didn't have any water to drink, and it didn't look like management was going to send me any either. So, unless their further questions had to do with something other than water, and when it was coming back, I had no answers. After that, I sat in my chair, found a book that someone had left, and began reading. I could see them out of the corner of my eye, though. Some of them had taken the news meekly enough, but most had formed into tight little angry groups that seemed to be holding individual powwows about the water situation. I saw a lot of furtive looks cast my way, but I didn't let on that I'd seen them and kept reading. This situation was out of my hands. If management wanted to send down water kegs or plastic bottles or a goddamn tidal wave to wash us all to hell, that was above my pay grade. The weirdness didn't happen until after 8. No one had come to help me count, so I just hadn't gone out to count at 7 o'clock. This was not uncommon, but no one had called to bother me about it either. No one showing up might be an everyday thing, but the control room shouting about it was not. Control liked to have their count on time, dammit, and if it wasn't called in, then there would be hell to pay. The radio hadn't made any noise either, but that was nothing to get excited about. I might have a bad radio. It was also possible that, for once, no one had anything to say. These thoughts soon slipped out of my mind, however, when Warden approached the fountain. Warden was a typical inmate. He was slight, pigeon-chested, with a uniform that hung off him and a shaved head that was sprinkled with stubble. While the others had been holding a council, Warden had been staring at the water fountain. After about half an hour, I had only been pretending to read my book and was instead staring at him over the top of the Stephen King novel I had found under the desk. His simple, inbred face was held in the mirage-like grip of the silver drinking fountain, and he darted his tongue across his parched lips as he thought about the bounty that must be inside. He had lightly drunk something today, a beverage with lunch or a sip of something cool on the yard from a keg that was filled by maintenance. But it's strange how being told that you can't have something makes it so important to you. I watched as he got up, after staring at the thing for nearly an hour and a half, and walked over to press the button. I expected nothing to come out, but to my surprise, a stream of water arced out of the bowl of the fountain. Warden looked as surprised as I was, and smiled as he bent his face down to have a drink. The others in Quad 2 looked over at Warden and seemed to notice that the water was working again. They glared over at me. Why hadn't I told them? And went to stand behind Warden as he drank at the fountain. His smile was gulping it down as he looked euphoric. But after a few moments, his laughing friends became less friendly. They slapped at Warden, wanting to drink some of the water as well. The bold one, who had asked the initial question, pushed them away like a rag doll, bending to drink as Warden lumbered up like a wild animal. The brute had taken no more than a few sips before Warden threw him from the fountain violently, his head leaving a red scree across the wall. Warden bent to the fountain like a starving animal. He gulped down mouthfuls of water, the rest sliding down his chin as he slurped greedily. The big bald brute came shakily back to his feet, a cut on his head leaking blood, and grabbed Warden by the shoulders. I thought he would beat him to death right there, but instead, he tossed him back into the day room, Warden slamming into a concrete bench, his arm bending strangely as the other man turned to drink. The others who had walked over with him stepped away, not wanting any part of what was going on, as Warden got up and lumbered towards the fountain. His arm was quite clearly broken, but he lifted the wounded hand to his mouth and sucked at the blood coming from his purpling hand. I looked back to the guy at the fountain and saw that he hadn't even noticed Warden. He was drinking water like he'd never seen the stuff. The water was sliding down his chin as he drank, his throat working furiously as he guzzled it down. I turned back to Warden and sucked in air as I noticed the shank in his hand. He had curled his broken arm to his chest, shuddering as it spasmed, but his other hand had found a short, crude little weapon made of twisted metal. He ran up to the drinker, his friends calling out a little too late. Warden stabbed him about a dozen times. The drinker never stopped, never even wincing, as Warden rammed the knife into his kidneys and back. When the drinker slid down the fountain, his lips were still sucking the air as he tried to drink. As Warden took his place, standing over the corpse as he drank, I heard panicked banging from the other side of the dorm. Robinson was my housemate in Quad 3. He was an older fella who made the best of his situation and never complained. I'd seen him many mornings in the day room, a cup of coffee in one hand and yesterday's paper in the other, before he started cleaning for the day. He was an amiable guy, and I found that I liked him as far as inmates went. He was not the one knocking at the glass. his roommate, a redhead named Griggs, was banging on the glass window that separated him from the hallway and pointing to the shower in the corner. The inmates in Quad 1 weren't the only ones to discover that the water was off limits, but not off. I could see Robertson kneeling on the floor of the filthy shower, naked as the day he was born, his head lifted to catch the water falling from the showerhead. There were others there too, three or four who had been trying to get him out of the shower and were now just as powerless to leave as he was. They were all catching the water, mouths open and elbows prodding for a better position. The inmates in 3 stood watching them, some of them laughing, but others looking scared as they banged on the glass and tried to get help. I picked up my radio and called for medical. I had no other choice. I had an inmate bleeding in Quad 1, and I had several others displaying strange behaviour. The protocol was very clear on what I had to do. I had to get someone down here to help. I called for emergency traffic, calling for medical and an A-team response. After 5 seconds of nothing, though, I called again. The static had a pregnant response about it as I stood, staring into the walkie. A-team response usually brought all kinds of people running. I was literally feet away from the captain's office, and the fact that I didn't have people banging to get in was very odd. When I picked up the phone and didn't get so much as a dial tone, that was when I really started freaking out. The glass tinkled to the ground as I pulled out the emergency keys. I wasn't supposed to leave the station unattended, but this seemed like one of those emergency situations they talked about in training. I'd sign whatever incident report I had to after I'd gotten some help here. I was way beyond freaked out, and I needed someone to laugh at me and say that this was normal. Tell me how this was nothing compared to the riots of blah blah or the incident in blah blah. The key slid in easily enough, but the mag locks wouldn't release when I put my shoulder against the door. I slammed against the door, the lock disengaged, but the door refused to open. I slammed it again and again, my shoulder burning, but my nerves turned up to a million. I had to get out. Suddenly, this station was about 2 sizes too small, and what I needed was fresh air and the sounds of crickets. I needed to run up to the concrete road and to the control room. Uniform left behind me, and not stop until I was sitting in my car in just my boxers and undershirt. I could hear the other quads banging, seeing what was going on from various vantage points, and wanting escape or answers or just reassurance. Instead, I slid down the door, sitting on the concrete floor and letting all the anxiety crush me. It's midnight now, and they've mostly gone quiet. I managed to make it back to the desk, posting up by the phone in case it starts working again. I wished, at first, that I'd stayed where I was. The quads have developed into war zones. Inmates fought over petty gang feuds, fought out of misguided fear, or fought over the precious water that they now all crave. I can see some of them at the fountains now, but there are others in the shower with their mouths open and the water soaking through their cheap prison uniform. Others are in their cells, heads under sinks, or even in the toilet as they drink and drink and drink. Warden is still at his fountain. The others have left him alone as they search for their own water or just hide and wait for all of this to be over. He's been drinking for hours, his body expanding as he threatens the burst. I can see dark spots on his pants where he's messed himself, and I imagine there are dark spots under his clothes too, where his organs or blood vessels have burst due to the swelling. His smile, though, is the most cherubic thing you've ever seen. It makes me wonder what he's experiencing as he gorges himself on water. I find myself looking at the fountain in the station and longing to find out. It's only been a few hours, but I can feel my tongue sticking to the roof of my mouth as I watch the quads devolve into madness. It's funny what you miss when you can't have it, right? A few hours without water begins to feel like 1,000 years, and even though I know it would kill me, I still want it. I figure this will be the last thing I write before I go try the fountain. Maybe our water isn't tainted. Perhaps it's just the inmate's water that holds whatever this is. It hardly matters. I'm so thirsty now, and it doesn't look like help is coming anytime soon. If anyone finds this, just know that I died smiling. Know that I didn't die thirsty.
Verwandle deine Leidenschaft mit Shopify in ein Business und knack Umsatzrekorde mit dem Checkout mit der weltweit besten Conversion. Du hast richtig gehört. Der Checkout mit der weltweit besten Conversion. Der legendäre Checkout von Shopify vereinfacht das Shoppen auf deiner Website bis hin zu Social Media und überall dazwischen. Na, das ist Musik für deine Ohren. Wie du es auch drehst und wendest, mit Shopify kannst du zu einem echten Hit werden. Starte deinen Test noch heute für nur 1 Euro pro Monat auf shopify.de/rekorde.